Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island Beer Company, brewers of Goose IPA, Four Star Pils, Sophie Farmhouse Ale, and Bourbon County Brand Stout. More at gooseisland.com. We don't need to be the only beer you drink. We just want to be the best beer you drink.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, Greg, and later in the show, we are going to review the sixth album from Taylor Swift, Reputation. It's going to be inescapable. This is going to be the pop giant Titanic iceberg of the next year, at least. You know it. We're going to try to offer some insights that maybe you haven't heard elsewhere.
It is absolutely going to be inescapable, Jim. Going to be number one on that pop album chart as we speak. That's going to be later on in the show, though. First, we're going to talk about soul and gospel legend Al Green.
Don't you know that I'm still
So people know Al Green, I think, for hits like Love and Happiness and Let's Stay Together and I'm So Tired of Being Alone, and I could go on and on and on. So much incredible music. We are going to, however, talk about his life and a lesser-known album from his catalog, the Bell Album. It's a record that means an incredible amount to both of us, Greg.
That's right, Jim. This came at a point in Al Green's career when he was still very commercially successful as an artist. But he shows up at Willie Mitchell's house one day, his producer, and says, Willie, I'm going gospel. And he really didn't turn back to secular music for several decades. He became a preacher. He built a church. And he devoted his life to spirituality. And the Bell Album was a huge turning point in his career as an artist. It is one of those transitional albums that was also a masterpiece. In retrospect, it is considered one of his greatest works of the 70s, but also one of his most underrated works.
You know, while Al's songs are known around the world, the man himself is an enigma. To get a better sense of who exactly the Reverend Al Green is, we sat down with Jimmy McDonough, author of a new biography called Soul Survivor.
I got to tell you, with this guy, there's so many things that I still don't know, and I think most people, even those closest to him, don't know, and I don't think that's ever going to change. Now, Al's full of surprises. He may reveal all tomorrow, and that wouldn't surprise me. But so far, I would say the bets in Vegas are off on that one.
Give us the thumbnail biography of Al, where he started, linking up with High Records, and where he was in those weird, dark days of the mid-70s.
Well, you know, he grew up in Forest City, Arkansas, came out of a gospel background, sang gospel music with his family. The family had moved to Grand Rapids, got thrown out of his own home for playing a Jackie Wilson single as a teen.
Mm. Hey, you! Come out here on the floor!
He had to be a complete fish out of water coming from Arkansas to Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah, I think so. And I just think that Al was such an ethereal, eccentric fellow anyway. I think he had a bit of a rough time in the land of the North. And I think it only hardened his resolve in a way to do what he was going to do one way or another.
And Jimmy, in reading your book, I think I got the sense of here was a guy walking around with a big chip on his shoulder from an early age. Like, nobody told him he was any good for a long time. And it was almost like he had to force himself on people and say, I am good, and I'm going to be great, and I'm going to show all of you. Is that kind of what you thought?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, early on, I think he thought he was special and he was going to get somewhere, and nobody was going to stop him. The problem is that Al operates on some high frequency only small woodland creatures can hear. Mm. So it took a while for that message to penetrate. He cut one record, a backup train.
Backup train. Helping hand, yeah, yeah, yeah. Back up the train.
And so he has this hit record that fades away fast. And he, on a gig in Texas, he runs into Willie Mitchell. You can't talk about Al Green without Willie Mitchell. And he was the guy who kind of grounded Al to earth. The Memphis producer, for those of you out there who don't know, who ran mostly ran High Records and is really responsible for breaking down the Al Green sound and in a certain way breaking Al down in the process. Al was a much rougher singer before he met Willie. And Willie just honed in on what he knew Al was capable of somehow, and it resulted in these, you know, what I think are, you know, certainly among the finest soul records of all time.
I'm so tired of being alone. I'm so tired of on my own. Won't you help me, girl, just as soon as you can? People say...
Willie Mitchell hears something in him. Lends Al some money, thinking he'll never see the guy again. He shows up one morning, I think it's 6 a.m. Willie thought he was a guy there to fix his house. They start making these records with the incredible High Rhythm Band, a whole story unto itself, all in the book. I love those guys.
One of the great rhythm sections of all time.
Oh, you said it. And what characters... I mean, the joy of this book for me was hanging out with them guys and learning all about their personalities and how it interlocked. They're as important as Willie, no doubt. They played on all those records. And Willie raised them from kids. I mean, it's just unbelievable. He taught them each what to play and maybe more importantly, what not to play. Mm. But from there, you know, Al just became a superstar with the zillion hits we know and love. Love and Happiness, Here I Am, Come and Take Me, Tired of Being Alone.
At one point in the book, you write, you know, Mitchell basically took a crazy gospel-based singer in a jazzier setting and tells him to rein it in, which Al initially, you know, bucked against. But then they come up with a record like Let's Stay Together, and Al goes, oh, all right, I get what you're trying to get me to do. When you talk about the formula, is that it kind of encapsulated? That's the first example of it, maybe?
Yeah. It's that whole restraint thing, okay? Nobody plays too much on a Willie Mitchell record. I mean, he did not like guitar players. The first guitar player in his band was Teeny Hodges, and that's because Willie Mitchell taught him every note he played, okay? Mm. And every note he didn't. I mean, this guy was so particular, like finicky like a cat. I mean, he didn't want any extra stuff from the drummer. All minimal. If anybody was going to provide the extra stuff, it was going to be Al. So there's a tension to those records because they're almost like an M.C. Escher drawing, you know, the guy who draws like the interlocking hands and sort of mathematical art. Okay, so you have like this mathematical music, and then you throw Al that's like these Jackson Pollock blobs on it, and somehow it just weds perfectly. And it feels so good, those high records. I mean, you want to move. You want to sing along, even if you're tone deaf. They just feel so good. And yet in the background, there is this tension about them. And, you know, it's just perfect art. Perfect art, man.
You're talking about this restraint that Mitchell sort of imposed on him, and he didn't realize, Al himself didn't realize that that's when he was at his best, his most natural voice. Willie Mitchell, obviously a jazz-steeped musician, composer, arranger, very experienced artist before he met Al Green already. And it seemed like running into Al Green and meeting him was kind of that moment where you realize, I've got the singer I've been waiting for all my life. It reminds me a little bit of the Sam Phillips story when he found Presley. You know, Presley finally walked into his studio and I go, this is the guy I've been waiting for a long time. I didn't know who it was, but now that he's in front of my eyes, this is what I've been waiting for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely perfect analogy. Exactly. Willie had, you know, he'd made a lot of great records there at Royal Studios, and I get into the whole history of High and all the pedigree of the studio and all the crazy stuff that happened there. But he wanted a singer. He wanted to go into pop, and he had a particular vision. And boy, when Al came in, it didn't happen overnight. It actually took months of trial and error. But once they hit that formula, say, with Tired of Being Alone, man, the sky was the limit. They just refined and perfected. And, yeah, what can I say? You're absolutely right. It was like Elvis walking in on Sam. And, man, Willie just took it to the heights. Al could voice these feelings that Willie knew existed and wanted to put out there. Willie wanted hit records. I mean, it was a weird mix of all these things, and it was just like you say, Sam Phillips, Elvis, Willie Mitchell, Al Green. It was it couldn't have been more perfect. Couldn't have been more perfect.
We'll have more with Al Green biographer Jimmy McDonough after a short break, and we'll discuss Al Green's pivotal Bell album. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.
But wait a minute, something going wrong. Someone's on the phone, 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, talking about how she can make it right. Yeah. Yeah. Happiness is when you really feel good about somebody.